Albert Camus was born 100 years ago, November 7, 1913. He died young at the age of 46 in a car crash in 1960. But he continues to fascinate new generations of readers. And one of them is Steve Paulson, who produced our show on Camus. It's been kind of forever for you, hasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it has. Camus has always fascinated me, really, since I was a teenager when I first read his novel, The Stranger, the story of that young man who simply couldn't buy into society's rules and was condemned to death because of it. But Camus is remarkable in so many ways. He was a dashing figure around Paris, the epitome of cool in his Humphrey Bogart trench coat. And he was also one of the heroes of the French Resistance. And he wrote every kind of book, novels, plays, political critiques, and philosophical essays about trying to find meaning in a world that had lost faith in God.
And he also was friends with all sorts of people, but especially another famous French writer, Jean-Paul Sartre. Friends, but a complicated relationship too, right?
Absolutely. At one point, they were great friends. I mean, together, they really launched the public fascination with existentialism and what Camus called the philosophy of the absurd. And then they had a famous falling out over politics, over communism. And what's fascinating about Camus is that he remains a controversial figure in both France and the former French colony of Algeria, where he was born. Now, his novels are still what people mostly read in school, but you could argue that Camus' real relevance today is what he said about politics. People are now rediscovering Camus for our own post-9/11 world as we watch the fallout from the Arab Spring and all the political turmoil in the Middle East and North Africa.
And you searched around for several Camus scholars. Where did you start?
In Algeria, where Camus grew up. And it's worth pointing out that his background was totally different from that of his most famous contemporary, Jean-Paul Sartre, who was born in Paris and was Parisian to the core. Camus was always an outsider. I wanted to get a sense of how Algeria shaped him, so I started out by talking with Alec Toumi, a Camus scholar who is himself French-Algerian and now teaches at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point.
He's born in Algeria. He grew up there until 18, and as he said once, everything he writes is linked to personal experience and to the country of Algeria.
And the fact that he was an Algerian and considered himself to be an Algerian shaped his whole outlook.
Olivier Todd is the French biographer of Camus.
He was a war orphan. His father was killed during the First World War when Albert Camus was barely a few months old. And he was brought up in Algeria amidst poor whites. This is something people tend to forget in a colonial situation like Algeria.
And he was a very poor kid, extremely poor. You know, French language literature, he learned it in the books and in the street. His mother was handicapped. She was half deaf, didn't hear well, and she was illiterate. She could not read or write. What Catherine Santès, that was her name, what Camus' mother did was to move to the city, to the capital, Algiers, and live with her own mother. And she worked as a maid. She cleaned houses when she could find a job and barely made ends meet. I mean, they were extremely poor.
This is remarkable, what you're saying. I mean, Camus grew up in poverty. His only remaining parent was illiterate, and he ended up becoming one of the 20th century's great writers. I mean, it's an amazing story.
Yes, and you add to that that as a kid, he was ill. At 17, he had tuberculosis, what's called the illness of the poor, because the apartment they lived in had no running water, no heat, no furniture. 17, he has tuberculosis, and he gets scared he's going to die. Then in his 30s, the second lung gets tuberculosis. He's spitting blood, and he's really scared he's going to die.
So this was an issue for him throughout his life. I mean, the fear of dying from tuberculosis.
Absolutely. And this is where it leads to his philosophy of the absurd. Somebody who loves life, who lived passionately, is condemned by tuberculosis, maybe to die tomorrow. Plus, he's a bad boy, chain-smoked cigarette. He also played soccer, played as a goalie. He had all the paradoxes of life. As he said, he loved life, lived it passionately.
He moved to France in 1940 for the first time at the beginning of the war, and he worked as a technician on a Paris daily called Paris Soir, but more important than that, That's when he wrote his world-famous novel, The Stranger.
Well, let's talk for a minute about those early books that first made his name, The Stranger, his novel, and The Myth of Sisyphus. The phrase, the philosophy of the absurd, was associated with Camus during this period. How would you describe his philosophical orientation in those early years?
Well, I would say that Camus is not really a philosopher, although he's a moralist. He's a man who is looking for a rule of living. I mean, the basic assumption is that if God does not exist, in Camus' terms, how should one live?
The Stranger was published in 1942 during the Second World War while Camus lived in Nazi-occupied Paris. That's where he developed his philosophy of the absurd, the idea that human existence has no underlying purpose. The narrator of The Stranger is a French Algerian named Merceau, who's emotionally detached, even at the news of his mother's death. Here's a recording of Camus reading the very beginning of the novel.
Aujourd'hui, maman est morte. Ou peut-être hier, je ne sais pas. J'ai reçu un télégramme de l'asile. Mère décédée, enterrement demain, sentiment distingué. Cela ne veut rien dire. C'était peut-être hier.
Mother died today. Or maybe yesterday, I can't be sure. The telegram from the home says, your mother passed away, funeral tomorrow, deep sympathy, which leaves the matter doubtful. It could have been yesterday. The home for aged persons is at Marengo, some 50 miles from Algiers. With the 2 o'clock bus, I should get there well before nightfall. Then I can spend the night there, keeping the usual vigil besides the body, and be back here by tomorrow evening. I have fixed up with my employer for 2 days' leave. Obviously, under the circumstances, he couldn't refuse. Still, I had an idea he looked annoyed, and I said, without thinking, "Sorry, sir, but it's not my fault, you know."
The Stranger became an international sensation, but it's always been dogged by controversy. Merceau has a run-in with a man on an Algerian beach, identified in the book only as the Arab, who pulls out a knife. Merceau shoots the man and then fires 4 more shots into his dead body. He never tells us how he feels about the crime, only that it didn't seem to matter whether or not he fired those shots. For some critics, Camus' refusal to name the victim, to call him only the Arab, revealed Camus' own prejudice against Algerian Muslims. It even inspired the famous song Killing an Arab by the British band The Cure.
Standing on the beach with a gun in my hand, staring at the sea, staring at the sand, staring down the barrel at the Arab on the ground. The sea is open mouth, but I hear no sound. I'm alive. I'm dead. I'm the stranger. Killing an Arab.
So what should we make of the white man Merceau shooting the unnamed African? Was Camus a racist? Not at all, says Camus scholar Alec Toomey. In fact, Camus often wrote about the injustices of the colonial system in Algeria. Toomey says part of the problem is how The Stranger has been translated. The phrase, the Arab, should really be translated as the colonized man.
Imagine the south of the U.S., the master killing one of his black slaves. They won't have a trial, or they will have a jury that will acquit him. And you have the lawyer of Merceau doesn't even claim self-defense. He could have acquitted Merceau by saying, he pulled a knife, I was afraid, so I shot in self-defense, case closed. The lawyer doesn't. The whole thing is absurd. Merceau is not condemned because he killed. He was condemned because the jury heard that he did not cry the day his mother died. That was his real crime.
He didn't show proper grief.
No. He did not play by society's rules. Merceau is a stranger because he refuses to play by society's rule.
Camus' ideas about the absurd resonated with the other great French writer of the day, Jean-Paul Sartre, who was formulating his own existentialist philosophy. Camus and Sartre became close friends, but later their bitter breakup turned into one of the 20th century's most dramatic encounters between two writers. Biographer Olivier Todd.
It's a long and very interesting story. They both met the way writers should meet, through each other's books.
At the very beginning, for several months, Sartre called Camus, according to Simone de Beauvoir, his best friend. And the way Beauvoir reports it, it was a little bit like falling in love.
Ronald Aronson has written a book about the relationship between Sartre and Camus.
He was tremendously attracted to Camus, and he was attracted to someone who had similar ideas but was also his opposite, in the sense that Camus was the great novelist, Sartre was the great philosophical genius, and they both recognized that they had very different strengths, and that was part of the attraction.
For a few years, Camus and Sartre fed off each other, sharing their ideas and their writing. They were both men of the left, politically engaged writers who spoke out on the great political issues of the day. And that's where the trouble started.
You must remember, some things have become cliches and platitudes today, like the evils of totalitarianism, the failure of communism. But in the early 1950s, when Camus, in his book The Rebel, criticized the idea of revolution, Marxism, communism, violence, when he said that, Camus was practically alone among the well-known writers. Those were the days of Sartre. Those were the days when the Communist Party in France was very influential.
Camus' repudiation of communism infuriated Sartre and sparked a very public debate.
Very specifically, what happened was Sartre was the editor of the most important journal in France, L'État Moderne, and a young collaborator in the journal, Francis Janson, wrote a review of The Rebel. It was a review that sharply criticized Camus' book for trying to escape from history.
The criticism of Camus was that he wanted to stay in the clouds. He wanted to remain morally pure and not sort of get his hands dirty in history.
That's right. Janson sided with Sartre, and when he published his review, Camus was furious. He wrote a reply, and it was a very angry reply.
And a very long reply.
Right. It was 16 pages, a 16-page letter to the editor of L'État Moderne. He criticized Sartre and Janson for siding with the Soviet Union. Then Sartre wrote a reply to Camus in the same issue of L'État Moderne, 20 pages this time, in which he mostly attacked Camus personally. And then Janson included a 30-page reply on top of, yeah.
And what's remarkable about this whole story is this all played out very publicly. I mean, these were two of the most famous men in France, the two leading intellectuals in France, and they were having this duel out in public. And it's almost hard to conceive of that in today's world because intellectuals just don't matter as much anymore. But this was huge back in post-war France.
Right. It was huge. First of all, it was very personal. But secondly, the public debate reached the 10,000 readers of L'État Moderne, and most of it was reprinted in Camus' former newspaper, Combat. 180,000 copies. You might say everybody who knew anything about what was going on, everyone in the know had read about the debate.
And there was a sense that you had to take sides. You couldn't stay neutral in this debate. You had to pick either Camus or Sartre.
That came from the Cold War. One side was right, the other wrong. And you had to choose sides with Sartre or with Camus.
The intelligentsia, on the whole, sided with Sartre, not with Camus.
Camus biographer Olivier Todd.
They both belonged to the same publishing firm, the well-known Gallimard, and Camus felt totally estranged, and he would avoid going into the office, and he would also avoid some of the cafes where he was likely to meet Sartre or Sartre's friends, and he began to be extremely lonely. Notwithstanding the fact that he got a Nobel Prize, Camus' last 10 years were lived in intellectual solitude.
So here's the great irony of Camus' life. His standing as a revered public figure in both France and Algeria tumbled, just as his literary reputation around the world was soaring.
En recevant la distinction dont votre libre académie a bien voulu m'honorer, ma gratitude était d'autant plus profonde.
In 1957, Camus won the Nobel Prize for Literature. In his Nobel speech, he said, "The artist stands midway between the beauty he cannot do without and the community he cannot tear himself away from."
Je le désire aussi, mais il ne m'a pas été possible d'apprendre votre décision.
When Camus won the Nobel Prize, his native Algeria was mired in a war for independence. For the French, it became an all-consuming quagmire, similar to what the Vietnam War became for Americans a decade later. Camus once tried to broker a truce, to find middle ground. He was appalled by the terrorism of radical nationalists and thought Algeria should remain part of France. But he also saw the brutality of the French colonial system. No one could accept his position. Camus was attacked from all sides, so Algeria's most celebrated writer stopped writing about Algeria. He thought whatever he said would only inflame the conflict there. Finally, a couple of years before he died, he broke his silence and wrote a book about Algeria, but by this time, no one seemed to care what he said. Camus died in a car accident in 1960. Despite his literary celebrity around the world, he was practically shunned in both France and Algeria. The French-Algerian scholar Alec Toumi says no one wanted to talk about Camus for decades.
For 20 years, you don't pronounce his name in France, and for 30 years, he's persona non grata in Algeria. So it's just recently. 82 is the first Camus colloquium in Paris, and not until the 90s, Camus back in Algeria.
Even though he is by far the most famous writer ever to come out of French Algeria, no one wants to talk about him.
Yeah, all has changed because there was a civil war in the 90s. A lot of people went back and read his writing, especially against torture, against terrorism, and taking sides with him and saying, well, maybe we condemned Camus too fast. So there is a movement in Algeria of reclaiming Camus, not yet of rehabilitation, but it's slowly moving that way.
Today, 100 years after he was born, Camus' politics are finally getting a second look. His book, Algerian Chronicles, was just published in its first English translation, and critical judgment has swung around. Just about everyone now agrees Camus, not Sartre, was right in their famous quarrel about communism. Camus' refusal to sanction political violence and his basic moral decency are all part of why we still read Camus and why he now stands as a model for how a public intellectual should act in difficult times.
Steve Paulson brought us that story on the life and times of Albert Camus.